finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Good morning, Steve Larson on Sales Funnel Radio. I'm just going to ramble. Steve Larson, Sales Funnel Radio. I'm looking forward to you today. I got my event in 2 days. And, man, I got to tell you, this is probably my 26th event. Number 26. And I'll tell you, every time I do it, it's one of the funnest things that I do in my life, to teach for 3 days. It is also challenging, you know. Someone asked how you learn it, and I'm like, I don't know how you learn it other than you just do it. You know, study stage presenters. I really haven't paid too many coaches, haven't paid too many people. I've paid a handful. One went terrible, which I'm sure I'll get to talk about someday. But you just do it. You know, it's funny. Someone is asking, how do you podcast? It's like, podcast. Well, what do you say? Just try it. Stop thinking about episode 723. Have you done number one? You know, they're like, what if I run out of things to say? And I was like, well, you haven't said anything so far. So you have a very illogical fear right now. You know what I mean? Just like anything, the answer is volume. Just do it a lot, you know? Like going through 34 failures. I mean, that's a lot of failure. But eventually, it clicked. And I was like, oh, this is how to do it. And the next 55 worked. I only say 55 because I lost track after that, but I really haven't had one that hasn't at least made a little bit of money since try 35, you know, the one after 34. So anyway, why am I saying this? Because part of what I go through whenever I'm doing these events is, I mean, it's challenging. It is absolutely challenging. You're coming up with an entire, my model for coming up with events is, it's very similar every time. Like 2 months ago, I had my mastermind. We meet every 6 months. Really, we meet every quarter, but, two of them are in person, two are virtual. And, you know, it used to be that it would take me, each speech was about half to one full day's worth of prep. Like when I did that OfferMind event in Boise in 2019, 600 people, 650 people came to Boise. This is insane. So many people. But when I had that event, that content deck for just 2 days, took me 3 weeks to put together. And it's so funny how many people are like, you could just get up there and just wing it. I'm like, it's because I prepare my face off that it looks like I could do that, but I still prepare. And now I probably could just get up and just wing. But first off, it's my sport. Why on earth would I ever get on stage and not be freakishly prepared? Like, this just blows my mind. I like speaking so much, I put $1 million into my own stage. You know, like, I think it's funny when people start to, it's kind of, I'm going to compare myself to Michael Jordan right here, all right? And I understand that that's a crazy thing, because I really am not great at basketball, but, that's like someone who just watches a lot of basketball, goes up to Michael Jordan, goes, have you ever thought about, like, jumping higher when you throw a free throw? You'd be like, that's a good idea. I don't know, it's just funny. Some of the advice that I get from people when I'm like, you're clearly not a stage speaker. No offense. I'm not gonna listen to you. Like, I think where you get, there's a point to this podcast. I'm just yammering on right now. Anyway, it's like there was a dude who came to our door 2 weeks ago, knocked on the door, and he was a door-to-door financial planner. And I was like, this guy, man, that is tough. Like selling pest control. When I was selling pest control, which I'm getting eaten alive right now. When I was selling pest control, at least I could, oh man, I don't know. With financial planners, the only question I ever have for them is, are you rich? You know? Because if you're not rich, I'm going to listen to you. You know, I'm not going to take money advice from someone who's not rich. It's the exact same thing when you're like going around and you're taking advice from. Like whoever you're taking advice from. You know, you can listen. And I'm not saying don't entertain ideas for sure. But don't accept them if the source of the idea isn't also its own testimony, you know? Anyway, all right. So it's 2 days before the event, which typically means that I'm under a lot of pressure, and I have a similar model every time that I go do an event. And the first thing that I do is I come up with, you know, what's the overall outcome? What's the number one thing that I want people to get from this event? All right, if I can just write that down. The second thing that I do is I try to come up with a model, like a physical model, something, a physical representation of the principle that I'm about to teach. So about 6 months ago, I had an event called the Lead Flow Flywheel, and it's meant for CMOs. And I mean, I had marketers in the room too, but it's a CMO model, which means you already have to have some marketing structure in place in order to do it. And so what I did is I went and I bought an actual flywheel. And it's cool. You put, you know, I put a little lighter under one side. This tube heats up. Then that's why you flick the flywheel, and it goes really fast. And so I brought it on stage, and I'm teaching the concept of what an actual, I studied mechanical engineering principles of what a flywheel is for a couple days. And it was really cool how it turned into, you know, what it turned into. But anyway, so, I try to come up with like a physical thing, you know. I bought a Tesla coil, like an actual Tesla coil. It's freaky cool. I like buying science toys, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, what I came up with for this event is I'm teaching what I call my drip system. It's a lead flow drip system. And it's really the foundations to a flywheel. You can't have a flywheel without a drip system, right? Too many people try to build these advanced systems too fast. They don't even have the foundations in. And so I was like, how can I go teach these foundations? So what I did is I got we have a tower garden. If you guys know what that is, it's like it's a hydroponics system. It's a drip system. Literally, it's a tower. This tube in the center pumps the water up. It's about as tall as I am, and then it trickles down all these little holes. They kind of shift back and forth and pass by the roots. It's really crazy how much food we got off that thing. So I brought it to my studio and it's on my stage right now, and I'm gonna teach how a drip system works so that people stop trying to live their businesses with these Hail Marys of lead flow, you know? Like, all right, I'm gonna go get, my business is suffering again, therefore I gotta go do some Hail Mary. And what I wanted people to do is to start looking at any kind of launch as a Hail Mary. You still need to launch. That's how you kick it. That's how you announce your product to the marketplace. But if the only thing you know how to do is launch and you don't ever build a drip system, you can't have any evergreen. There's no evergreen traffic. And that's one of the beauties of this drip system we keep in our kitchen, is you can get a freakish amount of plants from this thing year round. Freakish amount. Like, we're a family of five, and it will literally outgrow how fast we can eat it. It's insane how much it grows, and it's just constantly coming. As long as you harvest it right, it works really well. Anyway, so that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm putting together this drip system. So over the weekend, I started studying farmers' drip systems and different agricultural layouts for pumping water from rivers and lakes and streams and all stuff. And I learned a lot about it. It's called a Treato pump, which is this manual pump that you can use to get water out of a pond. So these drip systems have like different principles behind them, right? One of the coolest parts about them is that it actually puts the water straight to the root, right? So it's actually, you know, not wasting as much water as normal traditional irrigation systems. And I kind of think that like marketing, where, yeah, marketing can be expensive, but not if you're actually targeting the very specific person you're going for. Marketing doesn't have to be expensive, and you also don't need thousands and thousands of people for your campaigns to be effective. You know, and I think it's kind of a new mentality about lead gen that we all need to start taking on. I heard someone talking about this, that AI is getting so good, not just in the content we create, but the actual algorithms that are using, like on social media, they're getting so good that, and so specific, that we need to be okay with getting like 100 views versus 10,000, because those 100 perfectly match who we were trying to reach. Does that make sense? We're going right for the root. We're going right for the person that we would want to have come into our business in the first place. And it is a new mentality. It's unique. It does mean that we have to be, I'm not saying don't try to go for the masses, but there's something to be said about putting systems in place that go straight for the person you want to recruit and bring into your business, versus just trying to go for, you know, unless this video gets tens of thousands of people, it's not a good video. It's like, well, there's different content strategies for different things. If you're trying to go get huge, I just want to be like Mr. Beast. Yeah, you know, you got to go for shallow, broad topics. That's a different content strategy than content you create for the sake of lead gen. You know, like, I'm so grateful for this lady has headphones on while she's walking. I don't think she realizes, you know, like when you're, I put headphones on my daughter, my 10-year-old, and I was like, check out the song. She's like, this is awesome. Just yelling because she's not used to her own, you know. This lady is like screaming on the phone with headphones on while she walks around. Anyway, no, but it's a different type of content. And people have to understand that, you know, Marley and I ran into that when she and I were doing YouTube for people. Was that it's like half the people, what they really wanted was just to make YouTube videos. And what we were selling them and sold them was, we're making YouTube videos for the sake of getting lead flow, which is a different thing. I'm not saying you can't get leads from getting big, but it's usually a little easier to make content for lead flow than it is for fame out of the gates, you know? Anyway, I digress. That's not the point of this podcast. What I'm doing is I'm using this drip system analogy and all the major functions of what a drip system needs for like a literal farmer. And that's how we're using it for how to create drips of leads into a business. And it's the combination of how we use different hooks and different channels. I think one of the biggest problems people have with their lead flow is again, they have this Hail Mary view where they're just like, look, I'm going to go as far as I'm going to lob it. And unless the ball is catched, my business is not viable. That's just not true. You know, they put all their eggs in one channel basket. You know, in fact, I'd say probably half the clients that have come to me in the last year have, because they're like, I have lead flow from just Facebook. You know, Facebook makes one, they build this big business, right? Or at least they increase their expenses. They have teams now, you know, they've got employees and expenses, recurring cost going on. And Facebook makes one change and just dries up the whole company, you know, because they're literal source of lead. That's putting all eggs in a single channel basket. And a lot of people did that. And as much as I kept saying, make content, publish stuff, put things out, you know, even if you're inconsistent, like I was really.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
I consisted for about 3 years, and then the following 2-3 years was a little quiet. It was a little slow. That's fine. I'm still getting about 1,000 people per month coming to my sites and my funnels organically. Just ready. And content-based traffic is such better quality than even ad traffic. My best buyers always come from my content. Always. Anyway. Yeah, so not putting all the eggs in one channel basket. It's better to look at this game as there is a combination of simple channels. It's the order that you use them in. I'm not just talking about repurposing. That's the other thing that people think about. Like, I'm not talking about a content machine. We're talking about a lead machine. And that's going to use content in it, because marketing is expressed through content. You can't be a marketer and not make content. You're not a marketer. And you're like, I'm out there though every day working, but I don't make any content. Well, you're probably a salesperson then. Marketers use content. Ready, Fire, Aim talks about that even. That's like, marketing is expressed through copy. Whether you're an ads driver, you're gonna go run an ad, you know? Anyway, you get the point. At some point you're making content somewhere. That's just what marketers do for inbound and outbound marketing. Yeah, so I'm really psyched about it. I'm using this analogy with this hydroponic system to teach it and the different things that you need to have in place in order for it to work. And I think it's going to teach a different mentality about how to use these channels. And that really is what the Dramatic Demonstrations book teaches as well. The Dramatic Demonstration book is not about launching. It's about the order that you use channels in to get the loudest launch. That's really what it's about. You know, when I was teaching at Funnel Hacking Live with Russell, those two times that we spoke, together, one was about my offer hook formula, and then the other one was about, the other was about the actual dramatic demonstration formula. But that formula, which is based on research that I've been doing for 5 years on marketers from the 1800s, that research, and those times that I spoke at FHL about that, it was slightly off, or rather it was correct. It just wasn't modernized. And so what I was teaching was stuff that was working, in the 1800s more. And so I'm really excited for the book to come out, because just like with all events that I do, every event that I've ever done ever, I always have epiphanies when I'm about to go on stage for 3 days. So this week is no different. I'm on stage Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and tell you what, you want to understand your craft, go teach for several days in a row, you know? Go teach for several days. I love that whole notion that you don't know it unless you can teach it. That is so true. And not only then, you'll gain extra insights. So it's cool, because in terms of the consistent principles of lead flow, me going out and teaching what makes specific, if you can command leads, you command the game, you know? And anyway, yeah. So anyways, I'm pumped about that. Halfway through this episode, I totally stopped it and like jogged a little while. There's so many mosquitoes just like nipping on my delicious calves. And I just needed to go run for a little bit. Get away from them. My gosh. So sorry, I got a little scatterbrained there for a moment, but I had to turn it back on a moment later. Anyway, so that's what I'm doing. I would strongly encourage, if you have never done it, to go teach your craft. Go teach. Even for one full day. You know what's funny? Actually, I don't know if many people know this. When I first read the book .com Secrets, I was in college, and I read it mostly while I was on a security line. I was laying in the dirt with my M16, and for 10 days, it was a training. Don't worry, there's like nothing, nothing going on. I was just bored out of my mind, you know? And I brought .com Secrets, and I kept it in a plastic bag in the pocket. It's funny, I had a dream about the Army last night. I kept it in my left pant pocket in a plastic bag. You know, no one could see it. They're big pockets also. Army uniforms have a billion pockets in them. Most military uniforms do. So I read that book, laying in the dirt, and I was like, this book rocks. I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow what this guy says. I'm going to follow it exactly. Little did I know, I'd end up working for him. It was amazing. Serious miracle. And it was never a part of my plan, but like, my gosh, incredible, right? I know what it did for me. I'm not blind to that. But because I believe that you don't know something until you teach it, I was reading this book, and all these other soldiers knew, like, hey, like, Steve's like a nerd. And so when I finished the .com Secrets book, I just wanted someone to teach it to. And so I talked to one of my teachers, and I convinced her to bring her entire family over, extended family, everyone. And I was like, I'm going to teach you guys this book because it'll help you make some extra money, you know? And I was very honest. I was like, I just read this and I want to make sure I understand it. I'm going to teach this. And so I taught Russell Brunson's .com Secrets book to this family in their living room with my computer audio recorder on for like 4 hours. I don't think they knew what they were getting into. And I didn't know. I mean, I knew I wanted to teach. And I also knew that I wanted what was in this book. And because I wanted it, I should go teach it to make sure that I also knew it. And it was so, that was the first time I ever taught the .com Secrets book was in this little tiny town where I went to college, and to this teacher's family for 4 hours in their living room. I don't know if the audio was any good even. I should try to find that thing. I wasn't good at it, but I taught it, you know. And I think that's one of the, I just have always viewed teaching as one of like the most, it's one of the most pristine, incredible gifts on this planet, to be able to shape the way someone thinks. You know, that's a superpower, man. And not, teachers are not created equally. Some are good at it, some are terrible at it, you know. And that also depends on the student too. I technically have never had a bad teacher, just because of my attitude about learning, you know. Anyway, getting on a little bit of a side rant, but no, that's my point though. So like, it's funny, as I've begun teaching what I'm doing in lead flow, it's actually made me have this opportunity to become self-aware on things I've been doing in my lead flow creation that I didn't know I was doing. And I think that's, like I was saying, that's one of the benefits. If you get out there and you start teaching, you don't realize how much stuff you know. I wouldn't teach someone else's material the whole time. Oh gosh. I never went out and like sold that, because I knew it wasn't mine. But I just wanted to teach, and I wanted to practice making info products. And so I made that audio, I forgot about that. That was over 10 years ago. Oh my gosh, that's crazy to me. Anyway, so I'm really psyched about what I'm teaching with lead flow. What I'm teaching, I've never heard anybody teach before. That's not to gloat, but it is to point out the exact principle I'm talking about. That in like the 3 or 4 days, and even during the event, you know, while you're preparing an event and during it as well, some of the most like supreme epiphanies come up. That was true during the dramatic demonstration stuff. It's been true for every event. And now this is like my 26th. We have probably 200-ish people coming, which is exciting. It's mostly virtual. There's going to be an in-person audience. I was just going to teach this material because I wanted to for this course I was creating, but I'm always better in front of a live audience. It lets me tailor to their needs, and it also lets me see if they're getting it, you know. If they're not getting it, I can see it, I can feel it, I can hear it based on their questions. And one of the things I really like is that, you know, it's interesting, launches are really similar to this, that like the first day of my event, I'll go back usually to a hotel room, even in my own city, just because it helps me control my environment. And I just think about what their issues are. Like, what did they not understand? And then I look at my slides for the next 2 days and I start making tweaks and little adjustments. And so it's cool. It's like it's a very collaborative process. The first, you know, like 80% of my stuff will be done or at least thought through and I know what I'm doing. But that last 20%, is really based on the feedback that they are giving me and they don't know it. And, you know, again, launches are extremely similar to that. Launches are cool That's the problem people have with launches too, is they think it's a button you just push. No, launching to launch takes several days, if not weeks. And it's this dance back and forth of these principles where you are it's a collaborative process with the very people you're trying to sell to, or at least the market that you're in. You know, it's co-creative. That was the biggest mind trash that I didn't realize that I had from college, because college kept telling me, hey, if you're going to go be an entrepreneur, you got to make something that no one's ever seen before, right? You got to be a genius. Put something together that is, you know, it is like you had to go invent something in a cave, and the first time you unveil it, massive screaming success, people's jaws on the ground, and you're like, wow, how innovative. No one's ever seen them before. When in reality, true innovation happens when you co-create with the end user. You know, it was really cool. I did have one college teacher that really pounded that into our heads. He's like, stop creating in isolation. Don't create in a silo. You know, you're actually hurting yourself. You're hurting your vision. You're hurting your... It's like, don't do that, you know? And I'd say the same is true with all marketing, which is really what lead gen is. It's marketing. It's the only way to measure marketing. It's true for all marketing. And it's true for all... I'm home now. It's true for all copywriting. It's true for events. Any great teacher is understands that they're not the source of the knowledge coming in as well. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to create epiphanies in their head that make them go, oh, God, I get it, right? Or source of divinity, boom, I get it, right? And you shift the furniture in their head. You change the literal layout. Like, I didn't think of it like that. And then it's kind of cool because it means you don't have to teach actually as much stuff. If I could just change the way somebody thinks, they'll take care of the rest of it on their own. That's it. I don't have to teach all the individual details. First do this, then do this, then do this. That's long. The better way is for me to teach sound principles, change the way somebody thinks, and then they'll actually take care of the rest on their own. It's a really interesting way to think about it. And it's actually, like I said, it's faster. So anyway, you guys are awesome. I put podcasts on Sales Funnel Radio when they have to do with sales funnels. And then the majority of my stuff though goes on my new show, Steve J. Larson. If it concerns the sales funnel crowd, I will, for the most part, put it on here. I will slowly just start updating on this show solely. But when it's things that I know are things everyone from funnel space or marketing world is kind of struggling with, then I come toss stuff on here. So if you are interested, go to the new Steve J. Larson show. Just go to stevejlarson.com. It'll take you straight there. There's a link right there at the top that takes you to the new show. It's a new YouTube channel as well as a podcast. And the podcast has more things on it than the YouTube channel, just because some things don't fit YouTube. So it's a lot more like personal stuff on the new Steve J. Larson, like true audio podcast. But all right, you guys are awesome. And I dare you to go teach whatever you do. You'll learn it at a new level. All right. And I would love to have you. I'm going to plug Lead Flow Live, leadflowlive.com. And if you're hearing this after the fact, still go there. There's definitely an option for replays available. Everyone asks, and I get schedules all over the place. And I used to be kind of weird about that. I don't know why. So sorry about that. But there's definitely going to be an option for replay things after the fact. So anyway, leadflowlive.com. All right, guys.